Okay, we are going to start the Sutta teaching session. So first, we'll pay homage to the Buddha. Namo tasse bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. Namo tasse bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. Namo tasse bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhasse. So, as we all know, we were discussing Yamaka Sutta as the topic in the last few weeks. And today also we hope to go a little bit more into the same Sutta. If we recollect or summarize what we have done so far, basically Yamaka is one monk who started having a pernicious view where after passing away of the Arahant, his body perishes and he basically get destroyed. So the so-called Arahant completely cease. So there was an Arahant, a person, and then that person, that Arahant, completely cease after the death. So that was the kind of view Venerable Yamaka started having. And then the others found it is wrong. And they tried to convince Yamaka or basically take him out from that wrong view. But Venerable Yamaka was so strongly adhered to that. And then they requested Venerable Sariputta to intervene. And they asked Venerable Sariputta to clarify so this situation to Venerable Yamaka. Then another occasion, Venerable Sariputta went to meet Venerable Yamaka and started convincing him in a lengthy manner. Now basically, rather than immediately telling that what you are thinking is wrong, your understanding or your view is wrong, now Venerable Sariputta started a fair discussion through which basically Venerable Yamaka slowly start to comprehend, so what he was thinking is completely wrong. Now the questioning goes on with fair amount of questions related to Vipassana. So Venerable Yamaka seems to have done certain amount of meditation, but his understanding was not properly aligned. In between, his understanding has deviated to a self view and thinking that there is a person, there is a soul within this five aggregates, and that person will completely cease at the death. So that is the Arahant. So this is the kind of understanding, wrong view Venerable Yamaka had. Now Venerable Sariputta is trying to convince him, showing even right now in the present moment there is no such person, there is no such being. Rather the name or the label, a person, a man, a woman, are all these different conventions that we are temporarily sticking to them so that we can do a easy communication, easy reference. So here the questions actually are very direct and asking Venerable Yamaka, what do you think, friend Yamaka, is form permanent or impermanent? Now this very much like, say, our body. So right now, is it permanent or impermanent? So if one is properly practicing Kaya Anupassana, so slowly one will understand how transient it is, how momentary experience that we are all going through. Each and every element, either earth element, air element, water element, fire element, all these things are quickly arising and passing away. Other than that, there is nothing substantial. There is no inner core. There is no any ongoing, everlasting, soul-like thing. So these are all very transient processes. So that is what continuing. But unfortunately, we get a wrong perception that this momentary experience belong to someone. Momentary experience represent a person. And that is being fairly reinforced by the terminology. our language, our grammar, our various terminologies, our conventions. All these things actually reinforce this wrong idea. Actually, we need concepts, we need names, labels, then only we can smoothly function the society. That is also necessary. But taking them as very concrete, real, existing phenomena, so that is where we go wrong. Now, Venerable Sariputta's questions, therefore, are very direct, related to this present moment experience, catalyzing the vipassana knowledges, enhancing his thorough understanding about the whole five aggregates. So, likewise, so these questions slowly help Venerable Yamaka to understand, so there is no such Tathagata, no such Arahant, either within this, any of the aggregates. So he's asking, are you considering form aggregate as Tathagata, as the Arahant? Then he say, no. Are you considering feeling aggregate as Tathagata? No. Perceptions, formations, consciousness? No. Because there is no person there. So once they come together, we give a name, a label, so that we can distinctly recognize from the other aggregates. So it's a kind of a naming process. It is not an existing person, but we are, for our convenience, we are adding a label, giving a name. Now, different communications further are highlighted and again asked from Venerable Yamaka. Are you thinking whether the Tathagata, the Arahant, is in form or apart from form, away from the form? So likewise, many different what you call inflections available in the grammar, how we are handling our language to represent different situations. So all are now asked from Venerable Yamaka. So he precisely answered. So none of those possibilities are considered as a person. Now, after that, Venerable Sariputta asks, when they are taken together, all aggregates together, is there a substantial person there? Are you referring that as the Tathagata? They are also, Venerable Yamaka answers, no. Then outside aggregates, now say, a Tathagata is he without form, without feeling, without perception, without volitional formations, without consciousness. Is that, are you referring as the Arahant? No. Now, so when all these questions are asked, now when Sariputta comes to the point and he is asking like this, but friend, when the Tathagata is not apprehended by you as real and actual here in this very life, is it fitting for you to declare, as I understand the Dhamma taught by the Blessed One, a bhikkhu whose stains are destroyed is annihilated and perishes with the breakup of the body and does not exist after death? Now, since there is no person available even right now in the present moment, telling that so-called person has perishes, destroyed after death is not a proper statement. So now Venerable Yamaka understood that and he admitted and he said, so I had that kind of a wrong, pernicious view. After hearing Venerable Sariputta's sermon, questions, discussion, I was able to overcome that. Not only that, I was able to make a big breakthrough. So he realized the Dhamma. So now only everything comes together, properly aligned, and now only he properly understood the Dhamma, and very much like he arrived the truth, Satchanubodha. That means he has become a Sotapan. Now after hearing this, now Venerable Sariputta continued to ask so many other questions, and he further verifies whether the understanding of the Venerable Yamaka is correct, and properly he answers. And now Venerable Sariputta further wants to develop disenchantment in Venerable Yamaka's mind. Thoroughly understand the nature of these aggregates. Now he gives a very interesting simile. He says there is a householder, a rich householder, but unfortunately there is an enemy for him as well. So this enemy wants to kill him, but right now it is difficult because this householder is rich and he is protected by a bodyguard. So he is in a safe ground. So therefore it is impossible to go and attack him. So what this enemy thought is to use a mechanism, a method. So that is to become a friend of this householder. Now he somehow become a servant under this householder. And he starts doing his job extremely well. So before everyone he wakes up and he do all the assigned tasks. And after everyone he go to sleep. Now slowly this householder notice him and develop some amount of faith on him, trust on him, and now he is getting more closer to him. And he may be giving or assigning more confidential tasks to this person. Now slowly he becomes his good friend. And one day when everyone has gone to various other tasks, only when the householder is available, so this enemy found an opportunity. So only he is available and the householder is alone. So at that moment he take a sharp weapon and kill the person. Now Venerable Sariputta asks, what do you think, friend Yamaka? When that man had approached that householder or householder's son and said to him, I would serve you, sir, wasn't he a murderer even then, though the other did not recognize him as my murderer? Now he is a murderer. He has already killed this person. But unfortunately, at the beginning he didn't understand. He thought that he is an innocent person asking for a help, asking for a job, a task. So everything went in a different manner. But he is still a murderer. He want to kill. Even though the householder is not aware of it, this person is a murderer. Now Venerable Yamaka answers, yes. So even when this person is asking, I would serve you, sir, wasn't he a murderer even then, though the other did not recognize him as my murderer? And again, when this person is serving him and rising before him, retiring or sleeping after everyone, serving him properly and doing all the agreeable conduct and talking to him with some love words or endearing words, still he's a murderer. But the householder didn't recognize. And only when he's alone and killing him, then only he understood he's a murderer. Now here, actually, we need to understand, so these five aggregates are also very similar. So as we are born, so these five aggregates have come together. So they start operating, interacting each other, helping each other, depending on each other. And as we are growing, probably we feel everything is fine, I am in prime youth, my eyesight is very good, I am pretty strong, my health is in good condition, I have clear vision. So everything is in good condition. So I love this life. I admire this life. I admire this birth. And the knowledge that we gain, various different feelings, pleasurable feelings I go through. So that gives a kind of a joy. That gives some kind of a thrill to the person who is using these five aggregates. Now when he is thinking, when he is preparing various things, he is creating various things, intentionally when he do various tasks, and when the others are appreciating it, praising him, so now he gets a lot of upliftment, satisfaction, because of all these tasks he accomplished. And through the senses also, he is actually having a proper situation. And they are also, the senses are in good prime condition, so they also give their fullest cooperation. So this person is quite satisfied about his life's life, about his this human life, human form. But unfortunately, slowly, so this body start perishing, body start aging, decaying, so it goes through various diseases. Now the eyesight become less, he can't hear well properly now, and the complexion of the skin become discolored. So all these symptoms starts coming up, popping up. Now slowly he is troubled. He has to look after the body. Still it is going through various difficult situations. Now he can't even move by himself. He needs someone else's help even to move, even to turn in the bed. So likewise, now these aggregates become kind of a hassle to him, an hindrance to him. Previously this body was quite admirable, but now it has become a real burden, lot of suffering. Others don't admire it. Others start telling that he's an old man, an old woman, looks pretty ugly. Others don't want to see. And the urinating, defecating, everything happens closed to you, and there is no much control. Things are becoming utterly desperate. And now probably he can't remember what he has done, all the vigor he had. Everything is now slowly losing. Memory power is reducing, and getting through certain diseases that also affecting, and he can't remember what he has done. And even though he want to do something, still he can't do. So all the positive side now become completely negative. Now at the beginning, they appear like quite admirable when we are in our prime youth, but now things are in opposite. So like in the simile that Venerable Sariputta given, so these five aggregates are very much like this. So they are with us to torture us in the future, very much like. So the kind of a simile giving us kind of a detachment towards these five aggregates. Without admiring them, or without attaching to them, without clinging to them, now we have a kind of a different perspective about these five aggregates. Why should I attach to them? They are going to kill me. They are going to torture me. They are eating me. So that is how Buddha is putting it in the Kajjaniya Sutta. These form aggregates were eaten me. These feeling aggregates eaten me. Perceptions aggregate has eaten me. So they are very much like harming. But we didn't understand. Now, Venerable Sariputta, after giving this kind of a perspective, now he is explaining about the Sakkayaditti, the personality view. A person who is not aware of the Dhamma and who don't have proper association, and he is undisciplined in Dhamma, so what he considers as myself, by clinging to form aggregate, considering form aggregate, he considers this form aggregate as myself, for myself. For he considers, I possess this form aggregate, self as possessing the form aggregate. Or form is within me. So I am so-called self is available within this self, the form is available. Or on the other hand, within form, I am available. A self is available. So these are the typical possible four possibilities typically explained in the Dhamma. So with respect to each aggregate, we have this kind of a wrong notion. Either directly we consider the aggregate as myself, or we consider aggregate as belong to me, or we consider aggregate is within me, or we consider I am within the aggregate, I am inside the aggregate. Now, say for example, assume that we wrote a book. So I can say, okay, this is my book. So the second part, the possessing part. Maybe when you are going in front of a mirror and you see your image, immediately probably you can call, okay, this here I am. So this is I am. So I am old now. I am pretty now. My hair has turned grey. So immediately that image or mirror image become myself. So that is the first form. Immediate so-called form become myself. Direct recognition or direct identification. Or sometimes we touch different parts of our body and say, okay, my hand is troubled, my hand is cut, I have a wound, I have gray hair. So all these are again in the second form, considering they belong to me. Or sometimes when I, as a strong person, as a strong personality, so might feel more expanded, ego-centric view is available, more expanded, I-centered view is available. So there may be various other components within that I, that self, and form is one of that. Feelings are one of that. Perceptions are one of that. The so-called self, person, is more mighty a person. A powerful person, powerful ego. So on the other hand, when we consider the other one, last one, so the aggregate has become more prominent, and within that aggregate I exist. So many different ways sometimes we identify ourselves with these aggregates. Now here actually we can connect another very interesting sutta. So that is a sutta called Ananda Sutta, where Venerable Ananda gratefully explained to the other monks how useful it is Venerable Punnamantaniputta's advice during his early stage of monkhood. So when Venerable Ananda was a young monk, so Venerable Punnamantaniputta seems to be an arahant during that time. So he is advising Venerable Ananda. Upadayatiko avasu ananda asmiti hoti no anupadaya. Kinch upadaya asmiti hoti no anupadaya. Rupang upadaya asmiti hoti no anupadaya. Vedanang upadaya asmiti hoti no anupadaya. Perceptions or other. Sanya upadaya asmiti hoti no anupadaya. Sankhare upadaya asmiti hoti no anupadaya. Vinyanang upadaya asmiti hoti no anupadaya. Upadayatiko avasu ananda asmiti hoti no anupadaya. Ananda, only when grasping is available, then only the sense of I am is happening. Now the sense of I am, this identification to happen, so clinging, grasping is a must, very much like a prerequisite. Now on the other hand, we can say at any time when a personality view has developed within us, when we strongly feel a sense of I am, a sense of a person, a personality view has developed within us, Probably if we can look back to which aggregate at this moment I am attached. Grasping which aggregate now I am referring as myself. So this is a very interesting reflection we can do during our practice. So as we practice Cittanupassana, as we practice Dhammanupassana, so we can recognize whenever a sense of I am is available, to where or to which aggregate now I am adhered to which aggregate I am close to, which aggregate I am referring as myself. Now say for example, you did an exam and you went through the exam and you passed it. And suppose now you have a diploma. So it's a kind of, in one sense, it's a skill. It is your talent. On the other hand, given diploma, that certificate, is a kind of a sign. Now, if we are referring this to another person, sometimes I can simply say, okay, I got this diploma. So there is no much kind of a egotism, probably in that statement. But sometimes when they are admiring, okay, you did really well in that situation, in that exam. Many others couldn't do it really well, but you have done a great job. Your marks is pretty high. You are a brilliant student. So the others maybe start praising you. Now slowly, slowly, this sense of I could develop within us. So at that time, probably, so your egocentric views can further develop. You start elated, you start uplifted, and you start conceited. Now that is the time this self-identification become more prominent. So at that moment, if we can step back and see, where did I attach? Which aggregate am I grasping? Now most probably I am grasping that formations aggregate, because that is where the intentions, different tasks, creativity, everything is included. So I am considering all these skills, tasks that accomplished belong to me. So they are myself. So most probably this formations aggregate is the one I am grasping. So when someone is referring, okay, this task is accomplished by me, I am the one done it properly, I am the best performer. So the performance, one's performance has becomes a cause for grasping. So all these different performance tasks accomplished, you can say fairly comes under the formations aggregate. So that is where we are grasping, using which I am referring a person, using which I am making a person, generating a person. And so likewise, so Venerable Sariputta explained to Venerable Yamaka all these possibilities, feeling aggregate, perceptions aggregate, then formations aggregate and consciousness aggregate. So how a personality view can happen within a worldly person. And therefore he further summarized, so he does not understand as it really is, impermanent form as impermanent, impermanent feeling as impermanent, impermanent perceptions as impermanent, impermanent formations as impermanent, impermanent consciousness as impermanent, painful form as painful, or painful feelings as painful. So likewise, all these aggregates are not pleasurable, rather painful, but we don't understand. And then all these aggregates are selfless, but we don't understand. He does not understand as it really is, selfless form as selfless form. Rather he think, okay, there is a person within, there's a soul within, I am there. Selfless feeling as selfless feelings. So all these feelings are there. So I am feeling. So feelings are happening because I am there. So they are very much like interconnected. When we have a kind of a possessiveness to whatever the different phenomena, so in underneath there is a accepted norm, accepted view that there's a person available. To that person, this belongs. So they are fairly interacting each other, helping each other. He does not understand as it really is, conditioned form as conditioned form. Conditioned feelings as conditioned feelings. Conditioned perceptions as conditioned perceptions. Conditioned volitional formations as conditioned volitional formations. Conditioned consciousness as conditioned consciousness. Now, whenever we are sort of thinking, so it is not immediately every thought happen, rather when single thought happen, we are adding to it, we are multiplying it, we are adding our likes and dislikes. So likewise, we do various substitutions, additions, we do various modifications. So we are preparing it. So then only it grows as an emotion. So this emotion is a conditioned phenomena, a constructed phenomena, a fabricated phenomena. But we don't understand that fabrication. We think it has a kind of a solid, substantial thing which has some kind of a core, an essence. So we don't understand their conditioned nature. If you are trying to understand that, so it becomes deconditioned. So it starts very much like disintegrate. And further, Venerable Sariputta says, he does not understand as it really is, murderous form as murderous form. Murderous feeling as murderous feeling. Murderous perception as murderous perception. So as a result of this all, he becomes engaged with form, clings to it, and takes a stand upon it as myself. Now, here is the outcome. So he considers everything as permanent, satisfactory, self, don't understand their pain. So as a result of that, he basically get engaged with these different aggregates, starts clinging to it, grasping it, holding it, and even takes a stand upon it. So ultimately what happened? Leads to his harm and suffering for a long time. Now he continues again and again, reborn into different realms, different forms, and it's a continuous form of suffering. Now Venerable Sariputta starts explaining the opposite. But friend, the instructed noble disciple, who is a seer of the noble ones, he does not regard form as self. He does not regard self as possessing form. He does not regard form as in self. He does not regard self as in form. Now here, how he penetrated this attachment, how he penetrated this grasping. Now he went through a fair amount of practice. Through the practice, he was able to penetrate this wrong view. Now he understood, so there is, all these aggregates are impermanent, transient. They do not cause lasting happiness. And they do not behave under our schedule, under our desire, under our intention. And as a result of that, he concludes, okay, these aggregates are selfless. So he basically understands impermanent form as impermanent. painful form as painful, selfless form as selfless, conditioned form as conditioned, murderous form as murderous. Now, even though these different forms are available, bodily parts are available, this very body is available, ultimately it is going to die. So during the death moment, we might go through a lot of suffering, murdering us, giving us all this pain. If there was no such form, there is no much attachment to it, grasping it, then probably we can remain calm, quiet. Since we have this form, now it's too late. It's a murderer within us. Don't know at what which moment it is start to kill us, murder us, attack us, give us a lot of suffering. It's a murderer. We understand impermanent feelings as impermanent feelings, painful feelings as painful feelings, selfless feelings as selfless feelings, conditioned feelings as conditioned feelings, murderous feelings as murderous feelings. So during the death moment may be extremely difficult feelings, painful feelings, going through a lot of suffering. He understands impermanent perceptions as impermanent perceptions. So likewise, Venerable Sariputta is now enhancing this Venerable Yamaka's understanding thoroughly. So he is able to further detach from all these five aggregates. His understanding becomes more and more thorough. Now he concludes, he does not become engaged with form, he does not cling to it, and does not take a stand upon it. And he don't want to consider the form aggregate as myself. He does not want to consider feelings aggregate as myself. He does not want to consider perceptions aggregate as myself. He does not want to consider formations aggregate as myself. He does not want to consider consciousness aggregate as myself. So basically, this statement is a kind of a further confirmation, kind of catalyzing that understanding, aligning the various insights which Venerable Yamaka to some extent had, and now Venerable Sariputta is properly aligning them, directing them properly to the further awakening within him. Now, as a result of that, these same five aggregates of clinging to which he does not become engaged and to which he does not cling lead to his welfare and happiness for a long time. Now, when all these were said, now slowly, Venerable Yamaka further get enlightened, his further wrong views are abandoned, and ultimately he became an Arahant. So it is, friend Sariputta, for those venerable ones who have such compassionate and benevolent brothers in the holy life, to admonish and instruct them. And now that I have heard this Dhamma teaching of the Venerable Sariputta, my mind is liberated from the taints by non-clinging. So that means now his mind is completely liberated. Basically, he has become Arahant. Now, here we can actually further connect with a few more suttas to get further understanding. So how Buddha thoroughly explain the non-self or the emptiness. Now here to some extent Venerable Sariputta has explained, and in certain suttas Buddha has further thoroughly explained them. Now one example is Kalakarama Sutta. In four different ways Buddha explain the emptiness. Now, Buddha mentioned, Itiko bhikkave tathagato. Now, this is referring to the Buddha or to an arahant. Datta dattabbang dittang namanyati. Suppose that you are seeing something, the arahant is seeing something. And at that moment, he does not conceive of a visible thing as apart from sight. Now, there is a seeing happens. There is an activity happens. A process happens. So, that is the activity of seeing. A vision. Other than that, there is no any visible thing, a substantial component or substantial thing, matter. But a seeing is happening. Thinking that there was something that I saw, so there are no any conceiving happens within the arahant. Now typically what happens is, suppose there is a cricket match. So we see in the television. So it has become something for us. So our country and another country is playing a cricket match. So it has become something for me. It's a cricket match. Very important match. So they are playing the finals. So it's a very important event. It has become a very important event. And a very important activity. Very important cricket match. So we are adding so value to it. So now I can talk about it. Now I can think about it. I can become so worried about it. I can become quite happy about it. Because for me, it is something. For me, it is something substantial, something very important, something very valuable, something that I should never miss. But for the arahant, so it's a kind of a process, and he can tell, he can refer to the others, maybe using the same terminology, but there is a thorough understanding within him to avoid any kind of conceiving. So he is not attributing a self either to the process or to the person who is seeing it. So as a result of that, there is no conceiving. So that is one side. So we are attributing a self to the what we are seeing is not present in the arahant's mind. And further, Buddha explained, he does not conceive of an unseen. Now the same example, if suppose that you couldn't see that cricket match. Now probably now you are worried about it. So I couldn't see that cricket match. I was in my office. I was on the way back to home. I couldn't watch it. I missed the best part. So you are so much worried about what has happened. So what is unseen is something matters to you. It was something that you have missed. Couldn't see it, and it has become a reason for conceiving. But for the arahant, there is no something like that. Adittang na manyati. So even though he didn't see, so it is not a reason for him to make any kind of conceiving. Any kind of manyana. He is not attributing a self to the process or a self to the person who is couldn't see it. He rather simply maintains unconceiving mind or silent mind. And then third part, dattabbang na manyati. So he does not consider that it is something must to see, worth seeing, something it is worth seeing. That say if you are referring, suppose that you saw it and now you are explaining it to someone, and probably you can add more value to it. You should see it. It's a very, very important event. It's a once a year event. You should see it. You should better try to find a ticket and go that. See it, watch it. And so we are emphasizing that it is something that we need to see. And as a result of that, we can do a lot of thinking, proliferating. But for the arahant, Buddha mentioned, so there is nothing called something which is worth seeing. So that's the third way of putting it. And then the last one is very interesting. He says, Dattaraṁ na manyati. There is no substantial person who is seeing. He does not conceive about a seer. It's double E-R, seer. Now typically this is the most difficult part for us to sometimes understand. So when we see something, probably we can logically, through logical reasoning, probably we can understand, okay, there is nothing substantial outside. So everything perishes, everything arises and passes away. So there is no core in the outside. So they are all matter. So we can even reason it out. But who is the person who is experiencing? So we can give more prominence to the experiencer. So there is an experiencer. There is a seer. So to this end, we can attribute a person. Now that is where actually very difficult to understand sometimes, and that is why many other religious teachings, considering there is a seer, there is an experiencer, there is an so-called observer. So that is very difficult to understand. So we can see how Buddha very beautifully denies that. So this Arahant even do not consider there is a seer here and make kind of a conceiving. If we consider there is a seer here, a person here, an experiencer here, so it also causes suffering, it also causes conceiving, manyana, or proliferation, papancha. So the Arahant is not even doing that. So there are two verses very beautifully highlighted this whole process. Yankinchi dittangva sutang mutangva ajjositang saccha mutang paresang natesu tadi sayasanghutesu sacchang musavapi parang daheya. So Buddha mentioned, whatever is seen, heard, sensed or clung to is esteemed as truth by the other folk. Midst those who are entrenched in their own views being such, I hold none as true or false. Now basically, with respect to one's very narrow experience, very limited experience, so they can call it as, or they attach to it and they consider it as the truth. Now Buddha mentioned, etancha sallam patikajja tiswa ajjosita yatta paja visatta janami passami tathevetam ajjositam natthi tathagatana. Now Buddha has seen the peril in it. So Buddha has understood the bab in this particular situation. He saw it well in advance. So where this mankind is hooked, and there are wrong statements. I know, I see, it is verily so, my belief is the best, you are wrong, your all views are wrong, empty. So Buddha has seen it, the bab in it. He has seen the peril in it. He has seen the sort of harm in it. So by seeing or understanding that, so Buddha has no clinging to any of those wrong views. Ajjositam natti tathagatanam. To the Arahant, so there is no such kind of adherences. So they don't take stand upon any of those views. They are not adhering to those any of views. So you can see very clearly, even in this Kalakarama Sutta, how Buddha carefully dissolved the situation or solved the problem, and very much highlights the emptiness. So this is very much a very interesting area to further, you know, to understand. So as we deepen our understanding, so more and more, so mind has to get detached. So rather than grasping, mind has to experience more detachment. mind has to experience more freedom. So then the sense of I has to become less and less. As we discussed, only when clinging, grasping happens, then only the sense of I going to come out. But if we are maintaining a non-grasping state of mind, so the sense of I am, also should not be available. Okay, I think we can conclude it here. And if you have any question, then you can ask.
Thank you, Panche. Sadhu. Feel free to raise your hand to ask your questions directly, or feel free to send them via the chat.
Yeah, we have a question from our side. Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Swaminanda, for this expressing the sutta and explaining it, making it clear, and so much appreciate that. I just wanted to clarify some of my thoughts about it with you to get your response. And at first, I was thinking how this to somebody, maybe if we haven't really practiced much, we may think that not. If we don't attach a self to anything, if we don't consider ourselves as truly a self or others as truly selves, that the first thought we may have would be, well, what's the point of anything really? How do we help anybody in the world, or how is the world beneficial? Because everything is so much material based, and based on self and other and competition, the way the world conventionally goes. So it seems, what's the point of all this? And in my little bit of experience of moments in meditation where there's no clinging to a self, and there's more of a present moment experience of things, where I can definitely say the self has gone into sort of been let go of for some short time while meditating, that if that's a very blissful state and a very sort of feels uplifting and joyful and happy, so I do see how to actually realize fully, like an arahant would, to actually realize the selflessness and to live in the moment and be unattached would be eliminate so much of our suffering, and even you know, disease that people experience. I think it is said, you know, that many of the diseases that we face in our life, cancer and various things, can be somewhat, or heart disease, hypertension, related to stress, you know, so you can definitely see how when people cling, it actually turns into physical disease.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you can actually see how these teachings have real importance to our lives physically, mentally, you know, mental illness. People, you know, I think it's seen in Western countries that there's much more need for mental health, psychiatry and so forth, to get people out of their suffering,
mm-hmm.
clinging to a self basically, and to craving, because that's such a big thing in westernized countries, materialism. So, but you know, I wanted to kind of make a comparison between like that extreme where people are really suffering physically and mentally to a situation where you can live free from the attachment and you can actually experience it in meditation. So I just wanted to I've verified for myself in meditation that selflessness and being in the moment, experiencing in the moment, what walking meditation, that it's not a nihilistic kind of thing. It's not a, it's not something where we've lost our hope in humanity, or we've don't see any importance in it. There's actually we realize the importance of humanity. So it's interesting because we can hold an idea that, oh well, there's no self here anyway, but that doesn't really help us unless we start to realize in our practice. So I just wondered if you could comment on that.
Yeah, thank you for the comment. So basically, as you correctly pointed out, so this is something actually we need to try to experience. Now, it is not that only the arahants, actually we can say it is only the arahant who are experiencing it to the full form. But even the vipassana yogis, time to time, when their vipassana knowledges are mature enough, ripen enough, so they may get released, they may experience the state of released mind, unattached mind, non-grasping state of mind. So that is what Buddha highlighted again and again in Satipatthana Sutta. So without attaching to anything in the world, without clinging to anything in the world, you are maintaining a mind state which is completely free, completely unassociated. You are not associating any of these conditioned phenomena. And there, as you mentioned, so it's a kind of a, say, happiness. It is not happiness that you gain through seeing various sights through the eyes or sounds through the ears and through those sense faculties. Rather, it's a happiness gained through understanding, say, gained through proper realization. So when these proper understandings are growing, maturing, so they are responsible to release the mind, detach from all these clingings, graspings, so that the mind become more and more malleable, more and more functional, more and more clear, without any kind of distress. It's in a more relaxed form. So there should be, as you said, so the human mind is going away from suffering now. So it is free from suffering. So therefore Buddha's teaching. So Buddha sometimes highlight, I summarize my teaching, only suffering exists and then suffering ceases. So suffering ceases. When suffering ceases, what is available is that state of cessation, the Nirodha. So that is something Buddha say, okay, you are pretty much like living in that. So that is why, as you said, say Buddha sometimes mentioned to Venerable Ananda, so all these times, Venerable Ananda, most of the time, I lived in emptiness. So he lived in emptiness. So there is no any attachment, there is no any grasping, there is no any kind of an association to the mind, so mind is free. So he was enjoying that. He was experiencing that emptiness. So the non-self nature. So this non-self nature is not something that we are intellectually reasoning it out and imagining it and debating about it. Rather, it is something that can be experienced. It is not a mere theory. It is not a mere philosophy or kind of a logical statement. Rather, something one can experience. So that is the difference or beauty of the Dhamma. So all these statements in a way we can call are fairly very highly philosophical, but on the other hand we can say they are one can experience within this very life. So you can realize them, rather than keeping it out into the book, rather than keeping or limiting them into the statements or words. You yourself can experience it. So that's the beauty. So then only you can say, okay, so I have arrived Dhamma. So I have arrived the truth. I have realized Dhamma. So that's why, so this Venerable Yamaka was so fortunate in that sense. So Venerable Sariputta, being a very compassionate teacher, so he used his vigor, he used his caliber to properly align Venerable Yamaka's previously available insights, and using which he was able to abandon all the wrong views. So Venerable, I mean, this can happen even to us now. Suppose that you are meditating, and while you are meditating, probably you understand time to time, okay, there is kind of a emptiness within me, so there is no person at that moment. But if you still have a view of self, so probably you might imagine, think, or wrongly misunderstand, so there was a person, so now there is no person. So it's a kind of an annihilation of a person. Even to that little time, so there was no person. So there was a person, but now there was no person. So likewise, we can misinterpret the Dhamma. We can misinterpret this understanding. So that is where the conditionality, or what we can call dependent origination, how they are properly aligned and how the personality views is propping up, coming up, is very important to understand. When avijja is available, when fair amount of ignorance is available, and then various fabrications are happening, various, say, formations are happening. As a result of that, the consciousness get entangled with the name and form. So mind become crowded. So there's a, you know, kind of turmoil is going on within the mind. Now you can't simply wait. Now you start reacting through your senses. And as a result of that, you get a lot of feelings. So if those feelings are pleasurable, you get attached to them and you start craving to them. Now you need more and more to them, and now you are grasping them. So as a result of grasping, now there's a sense of I am. Now there's a sense of, say, being, or there's a sense of new life, new state of mind, new experience is arising, and now you have become that experience. You are completely shifted to that mental state, and you are living in that experience. So this is a mind-made state that we are very much like living now. So conditioned. So we went through this conditioning process, and now that conditioned phenomena, we are attached and living and so grasping. But unfortunately, this is a conditioned phenomena, and the moment the reasons, the causes which are supporting this condition starts perishing, starts, you know, disintegrating, so this so-called condition also collapses. So we start suffering. So if we can understand this condition process, then you may not refer that there was a person, that person annihilated, but there is kind of reasons, causes, and those causes actually gave a wrong interpretation as a person. And that when that ignorance is abandoned, so there is no such possibility of ignorance. There is no possibility of such formulation of a person, because it's just a name that we are attaching, we are sticking to this, to refer this process. So likewise, so when we are deepening our understanding, so more and more, so you may be able to maintain a free mind without attributing it to a self, and not even telling that there was a person, but now there is no person. Even telling like that is in a way wrong. So that is what this whole theme of Venerable Yamaka. So he imagined there was a person. So at the death of the Arahant, so that person perishes. That person annihilates. so that the soul view, the atmaditti, so that he was strongly adhered to that wrong perception. But Venerable Sariputta was able to convince him, even right now there is no such substantial thing available, substantial person available. So then only Yamaka understood, yeah, then what's the point of telling after death that person perishes? No point of telling like that, it's wrong. So therefore it is very subtle point that is highlighted here, and very, very interesting and very, very important to understand it. So otherwise we can give a wrong interpretation to Dhamma.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I just
sure.
Very short follow?
Yeah.
So what I'm getting from what you're saying just then was that we should be very mindful of how and when, and you said this earlier, when any of the aggregates, when we have a sense of I that arises, or I am, that at that moment, if we can realize that and just drop that, that's the place where our I keeps arising.
Definitely.
Continually. The moment I start thinking, really, if I'm meditating and I find myself in a state where the sense of self is gone, the moment I say that, a sense of self is gone, there is a self there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, was a self, that self has gone.
There it is. So
that's why, I mean, how
so
we
subtle.
Are so subtle,
yes.
So subtle.
Yeah.
So there was an accepted view that there was a self, concrete self.
Yeah.
Due to the practice, that self was gone.
Oops.
So I mean, so these words are very, you know, cheaty in a way. You can,
yeah.
They can give a wrong connotation. They can give a wrong interpretation to the whole picture.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, those are the questions coming from our side, so we can open the session for the others.
I don't believe there's any other questions on our side at this moment, Bhante.
Okay. Okay, then if there is no further questions, then we can wind up the session. Actually, today's session completes Yamaka Sutta. Probably next week we can start a new one. Okay, all this time we were able to discuss Buddha's teaching and to hear certain subtle aspects of the teaching, and we can connect it with our practice so that we are properly aligning our practice, properly maintaining our practice in the proper sense. That is also very important. Otherwise we can also can lead to wrong views. And so the understanding that we have gained through these discussions, referring to the Buddha's teachings, is therefore very, very important. So all the merits that we have accumulated through this process, let's share with all the past relatives, share with all the celestial beings, and whoever in need of merits. And we wish these merits help us also to attain path, fruition, nibbana. While keeping these good wishes in our mind, let's recite the traditional verses. Ittavata cham hehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ittavata cham hehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ittavata cham hehi sambatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu desanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu mamparam. Idam vo nyati nam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Idam vo nyati nam hotu sukita huntu nyatayo. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo. satan samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo satan samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya sadu sadu sadu.